There was times I was in so much pain I didn't want to breathe. Now, on a good day, I could get out, mm-hmm. wheelchair, walker, cane. And on a bad day, I didn't make it out of bed. I mm-hmm. didn't want to. I mean, I didn't want to breathe. And I was on morphine, some various forms mm-hmm. of morphine and everything else for almost 7 years.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, my friends, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 99. We're almost at 100, and I am so excited for you to be here yet again. I'll never not be excited to record another podcast episode. Today's podcast was, again, super unique in its own way. My guest today is the one and only Brandy Gilmore. And Brandy was in a car accident in a very bad fall and was stricken to a wheelchair and a bed at times for 7 years. Nothing could help her. No doctors, no medication, no nothing. Kind of sounds like my situation with my neck right now, you guys are very familiar with. And I couldn't wait to talk to her. She's very inspirational, has a very, very good outlook on life. Spoiler alert, she got herself out of that wheelchair, and she's able to walk and do everything she wanted to do before. And more! Remember, you can find this episode and all the conversations, contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast. And you can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. I cannot wait to share this episode with you. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you, Chris, so much for having me here.
Absolutely. I told you just a moment ago, I've been very much anticipating this conversation. And that reason is because of your incredible journey, to say the least. And I saw myself in that now. You experienced an accident and you were in a wheelchair and you could barely get out of bed sometimes. It was an incredible story, and I'd love to dig into that more. I've been dealing with my own injury, a neck injury. Everybody listening knows this. And when I heard you talk and you said something, or they say there's nothing they can do for you and it's pretty hopeless, and you go from doctor to doctor, and I've been in a similar situation for my neck injury that occurred in the Navy. And I'm just getting passed to specialist to specialist to specialist. I've had scan after scan, x-ray after x-ray, and everybody's like, it looks fine, but you're in obvious pain. I've even had a specialist say, oh, you're the puzzle. And I'm just like, oh my Lord, this is not what I want to hear from a specialist.
So you're the puzzle?
I'm the puzzle. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's insane. So when
it's
I heard
like
your
you're
story,
the problem.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, you're right?
And why is that? You know, like, I didn't choose this.
They don't know how to figure it out, which, by the way, there are 1.5 billion people that live in pain, and somehow, like, it's crazy. And then if it doesn't work, it's like, oh, you're the problem, you're the anomaly. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
There's a lot of us that are suffering.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and I'd love to get into more of your story for people. I know I recapped it a little bit in the introduction before you came on, but I'd love to learn a little bit more about you for people that don't know who you are, just a little bit more of your background.
You know, first and foremost, this is the last thing that I thought I would be doing.
Interesting.
Basically, I grew up athlete, very, very strong. I mean, the first time I like won Junior Olympics in martial arts, I would think I was like 12 or 13. I mean,
wow.
So I grew up an athlete, an intense athlete, went into engineering, network engineering operations,
cool.
And that's what I did. And then I had both a car accident and then a fall. And I basically, between the two, I ended up in so much pain. And basically my doctors were like, okay, like I was in all this pain. And I was given this whole long list of ailments, everything from CRPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome, also referred to as reflex neurodystrophy, nerve lesions, spinal end plate fractures. I mean, all of these things. And I mean, there was times I was in so much pain, I didn't want to breathe. Mm. I was just, I mean, on a good day, I could get out, mm-hmm. wheelchair, walker, cane, And on a bad day, I didn't make it out of bed. I didn't want to. I didn't want to breathe. And I was on morphine, some various forms of morphine and everything else for almost 7 years.
Yeah.
Jeez. And
That's a long time. That's a long time.
It's a very long time.
It's almost a decade. Mine is not quite that long. It's been about 4.5 years now. And mine relapsed and got a lot worse about 6 months ago. My daughter was born 7 months ago. And I couldn't hold her for more than 5 or 10 seconds for the first 4 months of her life. So it impacted me really deeply. And I can't remember if I had made contact, had plans to get you on here before after that happened, but I had still had this injury. So 7 years is much too long.
4 years is much. Four days is too long. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's so crazy to me. And I honestly think when I listened to your TED talk, and it was a very good TED talk. Anybody that is listening to this, I would encourage you to look up Brandi Gilmore TED talk. I think it was a TEDx maybe, and go ahead and check that out. And it was very powerful. And that's when I knew I wanted to have you on here. Man, it just like gets me thinking, like, because to see you stand up out of that wheelchair, I don't want to ruin it too much for everybody, but to see you stand out there gave me hope. And I knew I really wanted to talk to you at that point to give other people hope, because I'm all about giving people options. Whether it be, I focus on career transition a lot. I focus on, you know, education, obstacles, helping out other people. And education is a good example of, you don't have to go to college to be successful, but you can go to college to be successful. And I want to give you options. It doesn't have to be one way. So when it comes down to it, like physicality of it, you presented another option. And that's what I loved about your story.
You know, what's incredible is that first and foremost, like, I hear you with the hope part, and I have to tell you, for me to make it through 7 years when, like, there was a part of my mind that just didn't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
And having hope is actually what helped me to make it through, because I wanted to get out of my body. It was hard. And so thank you for saying that as far as my TED talk, because that was really, my goal was to help give people hope and wake them up. You know, if you've heard Einstein's quote before, where it's, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. Yes. Like, we can't look at things in the same way and expect a different result. And then I love that you said that, you know, you give people options and having them look at perspectives and things in a different way. You know, when we look at healthcare, we have a certain way of doing it. And when you start to look at the numbers, more and more people are getting sick. I mean, literally in the year 2000, it was projected that more people would continue to get sick until at least the year 2030. And it's exactly what's happening. It's like, it's like if somebody's on a budget and they're going further and further and further in debt, they may want to rethink their plan. And if we're as a country, like, more and more people are getting sick, and even life expectancy is going down.
I saw that recently. The last few years. Blew me away. What? I saw that. I heard it. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yes, and we keep doing things the same way. And it's like, don't we need to do something different? And that's why, you know, when I said the last thing I ever thought I would be doing is what I do now, I get to see the most incredible things. And the reality of it is our minds are so incredible. Mm-hmm. Our minds, healing with the mind, you know, is probably the last thing I could have told you that I would ever be doing in the world. network engineer, very, very scientific. And what happened is that as I started going, you know, as the doctor said, there's nothing they could do for me. Of course, I tried diet and I tried supplements. Yeah. And then when that didn't work, and reflexology and acupuncture and acupressure and Reiki and all these things, and when none of it, like, you know, some of it had some relief for a moment, and then it comes back, and, you know, and it's frustrating. And I mean, I was trying like everything I could find. Then I started going a little further outside the box. Okay, well, I'll try magnets. I'll try some sound therapy. I'll try this. I'll try that. And, you know, being an engineer, I was like, you know, network engineer, I had done troubleshooting. That's what my life was troubleshooting prior to my injury. And so I started looking at it, and I was going, and I started like researching and going, wait a second. If we know that the placebo works, whether you want to believe it or not, there's something in the freaking mind that does this. Like, even though it may sound a little crazy, it's kind of proven. Like, I can't really argue with that. And then, so I start looking further, and I'm going, okay, well, wait a second. This doesn't make sense. How is it possible that over 80% of amputees still experience pain and they don't even have a limb?
Yeah.
80%. That's not, wow. You know, and then I think the other thing that really, really woke me up was people with multiple personality disorder. Hmm. And the fact that they could have different ailments and different pain and illness.
Wow. And, yeah. And I didn't think about that.
When they're in different personalities.
Oh, shit.
It's like, well, wait a second.
Wow.
What are we doing? We're cutting out the body. We're cutting out body parts. We're cutting pieces. We're medicating pieces. We're covering them up. But wait, somebody with multiple personality disorder can change asthma?
Wow.
If they're in a different personality? Wait a sec.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do know. That's insane. I work in IT right now. That's my day job. So I'm an engineer. So the whole troubleshooting thing resonates with me deeply. And I try to approach it that way as well, to think about like, all right, so what logically, if this was my job, which it should be because it's my body, what would I do next to troubleshoot it? And that's why I've been going through multiple things. And it's just, I'm sure you've experienced what I'm about to say too, but it's so damn expensive. Like, they gave me a cortisone shot in my neck and it was like at least $1,500 and it lasted a week. And I said, doc, no disrespect, but I can't, this is not the answer. Like, I can't, are you kidding me? $1,500 a week? Yeah. Okay. I didn't feel any pain and it felt great for the first time in a long time, but that's not feasible. So when you come along and you tell me the things that you just told us right now, that blows me away. And I mean, I choose to believe, because I have been in a lot of times of hopelessness over the past 4.5 years. So if I chose not to be full of hope, then what would I have? I would have nothing and I would be sad and depressed. And I'm very far from that right now. Now I still get frustrated, mind you, but I am still full of that hope. Like you said initially about your talk, I have a lot of that hope and I'm still, you know, I still go see doctors, but I'm a little bit more apprehensive of the recommendations and I do a little bit more due diligence on it before I move forward on that. So you were in IT, you were a net eng, operations, you said beforehand, and then now
technically I did like troubleshooting circuits and all of that stuff. Oh. So
we did similar things. So,
not the IT part. I didn't like the networking, though. Okay. Like the T1s or DS3 and ATM frame relay, all of that.
Oh yeah, that's all gibberish to me even. So we did
like network stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Not the IT, the programming stuff. I did the how does the internet connection for a city get from one place to another city.
Okay. All right.
Across
the
US.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. It's still a similar mindset though, you know, so you have this troubleshooting mindset and that's probably what helped you. You obviously did a ton of research, but it probably helped you, huh?
A ton, especially because like what I was doing is I was troubleshooting the mind, troubleshooting the nervous system, troubleshooting the body. Why is it doing what it's doing? How is MPD, you know, multiple personality, how is it even possible?
Yeah.
Looking at all this stuff. And
so curious,
you know, if you troubleshoot something from one end of the US to another, you know, it's the same type of thing. So
That's very interesting. Yeah. So you said before this accident is that's what you did. And then post, and then you weren't really able to work during this. How long? You said 7 years, right?
What?
You said it was 7 years of you unable to move. And was this whole time you were not able to work as well?
Oh, no. I didn't work.
Holy moly.
No, but my job was so sweet because they loved me and I was great at what I did. They actually held my job for like 2 years for me
Get
to come
out
back.
Of here.
And
wow.
I know, right?
Good for them.
Who does that?
Yeah, that's
they
really nice.
They were calling in every couple months. They were like, okay, how are you? I was like, no, but I'm going to get better. Like I was endless
I love that.
Optimist. I was like, yeah, the doctors say I'm not going to, but I know I'm going to get to, and then 3 months turned into 6 months turned into a year turned into years.
Yeah, that reminds me of, I spoke last night with a gentleman named Eric LeGrand. I'm not sure if you know him, but he was a football player for Rutgers. In 2010, he made a tackle and he got paralyzed from the neck down. And I spoke with him last night and he still is in a chair, but he has regained some movement in his shoulders and sensation throughout his body. Went across the board. Everybody said that nothing would ever happen until the rest of his life. And here he is, like a major accident, you know, and it's been 9 years, but there's been progress. And that's what I love to see is I love to see progress because progress is hope. And then that continues to give you more hope.
Oh yeah, you should see. Okay, so I have taken people paralyzed from a variety of different things. If I take one with MS, you know, as far as coach them and show them how to use their mind. Mm-hmm. And usually so far, the first step is that when their legs start moving again, it's involuntary jumps. And so all of a sudden their knees will start jumping up. which is funny because we kind of joke around because I have multiple people who have done this with. And we kind of joke around that they'll go to sit at the dinner table and they'll put the wheelchair in, and then when they're going through this phase of involuntary movement, their knees will come up and hit the bottom of the dinner table. Yeah. So it's like, once that phase starts, it's like, okay, don't park your wheelchair under the table because you'll get bruises. And
that's a good bruise, though. It's a good reason.
Yeah, not only that, but you know, it's working with the program, so it's just better.
Wow.
That they don't, but it's incredible.
Yeah. And then, so you got, and obviously you got into speaking, you did it to the Manor where Ted caught your mind and you were able to do things on that size. What kind of propelled you? This is kind of like a double question. I always kind of like to talk about career transitions and helping other people. And you kind of transitioned out of that IT world into speaking engagements, doing something different, and also with the attitude of wanting to help other people. So I guess we can ask him at different times, but one, why did you want to continue to, or start to speak and continue to speak?
Well, it was all really by accident. I think if somebody asked me, do you want to start speaking, I would have been like, no. technically, I started getting better through my injury. I was like, and I started figuring out, I was like, oh my God, like, this is really going to happen. I remember the very moment when I was like, because I had been making some progress and making some progress, but I remember the very moment when I was like, oh my God, this is really going to happen. I'm really going to get my life back. Like, I'm really going to get my life back. And which was funny because I had been making progress, but at this moment, I came out of my house and my neighbor, she was 74 at the time, wonderful woman. And she would practice, like, I would practice walking out front, and trying to make it all the way to like the corner, which was like 100 feet or something like that, and back. And she would walk with me. And so on this specific day when I was like, oh my God, this is really, really going to happen. Like, I came out of my house and I knocked on her door and I was like crying, and she's like, is everything okay? I was like, yes. I figured out, cause at that moment, like, I figured out how to get down on my knees again.
Wow.
And it wasn't great. It wasn't perfect, but I could do it. And I kissed the ground crying. And I was like, I'm going to get, which is funny because I'm so OCD. I was so OCD at the time. I didn't care. I just was like, it was just like, this moment is going to happen. And from that point, I actually renewed, like, I got my Convergent Network Technology certification. Wow. I started getting recertified because I was going to go back to what I love. And that was my plan. But I finished that certification. And I wasn't yet ready to go back to work. So I started like volunteering at this homeless shelter. And my thought had been, when I was laying, like, I had these moments when I was laying in bed in all this pain, just like meditating, sometimes turned into begging, sometimes turned into like praying and begging. It was everything. It was just like, I was like, if I ever get better, I'm going to make sure I'll share with people what I did. Just please God or universe, divine, whatever you are, if you're listening. I mean, I was at a point where I was desperate and begging. It wasn't pretty, but when I thought, okay, well, I waited till I got better all the way. And then I went to tell my doctor and I was like, okay, so I was like volunteering at this homeless shelter. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to tell my doctor what I did. He's going to want to help everybody. And it didn't go like that. My doctor, wonderful, wonderful guy, but he was so amazed. He was like, oh my God, you got better. Wow, that's so great. How impressive, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, well, I got to go. There's another, like, he never even asked. Never even asked.
Wow, that's interesting.
He was very, very, I mean, very sweet guy. I would never say a single negative thing about him, but he never even asked how I got better. And he had to run off to somebody else. And then it is kind of, which, by the way, ended up being a gift. I don't think that, it became my life purpose. I was like, okay. And then it was like, okay, well, let me go to the psychoneuroimmunology department here at UCLA and let me tell them what I did and all these things. And I realized that when it came to healing with the mind, that the results that I could get and show were kind of amazing compared to where other things are. And so it was just, It was an unfoldment. Like, other people around me started going, okay, well, you got better. Show me how you did it. So I started showing other people. And then I thought, okay, you know, I'd coach them and I'd actually show people how to get out of pain in minutes, wow. like using their mind and just coach them to use their mind. Yeah. And then I thought, people are going to think that this isn't even real. And I know that I would have been like, there's no way. And so then that's when I started doing it under medical equipment, okay. you know, where you could see it under the thermography,
sure. yep.
which led to the TED talk. And it just kind of just all just continued to,
wow.
it became it was a journey of showing people how powerful our minds are that you could do it. I'm like, oh, but when you see that you can do it. And it just kind of expanded into this huge, wonderful thing.
It's so cool how that works out, right? Like, it's so cool how things unfold. You had obviously no intention to do any of that. And it worked out like that. It's incredible to me. It's absolutely incredible. How did that change your outlook on life after almost a decade of this?
I would say that it changed my what helped me to get better was actually changing certain things in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then as you know, whether you look at it, like, our thoughts help create our life, whether we look at it from mm-hmm. metaphysics, where we'd say, okay, our thoughts help create our life, or even Albert Einstein, where you say, you know, imagination is the preview of life's coming attraction. Or we could look at, like, plain psychology, where they'll say, yeah, people tend to marry those that are like their mother or father, or they have patterns of hurt or abandonment or victim or blah, blah, blah. And you go, we're all kind of saying the same thing. Or the Bible would say, you know, a prayer, you know, basically, without getting too into scripture, basically that our prayers and our thoughts help create our life. And so whatever way we look at it, our thoughts help create our life. And so that was huge, because when I started working with my mind to heal my body, it's simultaneously like the side effect is that it changed my life.
Wow.
And so, it was all it was a gift.
Yeah, it is a gift. And that's one of the things I want to show people. We talked about showing people options, and I want to show people essentially unlock their mind, and just like you would unlock a door and the door opens up, you actually see what's behind the door. I want people to see that not only are all these options, but we sell ourselves short and we're capable of so much more, and we don't even know how much we're actually capable of until we start in the pursuit of that, you know, until we start headed in that direction. And the more we learn, the more we have these kind of conversations that you and I are having right now, do we realize, like, so I'm having this conversation with you, for example. So I'm like, I need to look into this more. I need to do this. I am still struggling. I need to work at it harder. I need to do better. I need to try more. I need to have more hope. I need to do all these things only because of this conversation. If I wouldn't have had it with you, I probably would not have had those thoughts. So encouraging these kind of conversations on any kind of level, for whatever interests you, for whatever career field you want to do, is a necessity for growth and the betterment of yourself and everybody around us. I mean, I can't imagine. To me, it's a really dark thought, thinking like, if I didn't pursue the growth mindset that I have now, if I just kind of was stagnant and level and I chose to stay where I was. And if some people subscribe to that, I say, I suppose that's fine. I mean, do whatever you want, but at least know there are other options. And if you choose to stay, then, you know, God be with you.
And you're spot on. You know, every single, like, I don't think I've ever heard somebody not say this, but I think every single person I've ever worked with has said, wow, I can't even imagine. Like, I couldn't have imagined my life would be like it is right now.
Yeah.
And even working with CEOs of really large organizations, you know, I work with people with mindset, not only for healing, but also they're helping their change their life. And sure. so, hey, would you have ever thought that you would be who you are today? And they're like, you know what? Not in a million years. And when I got better from my injury, I was just so happy to be better. I was like, walk around and not have pain. I was working out. I mean, I was just like blissed out on life, just going, like, I literally remember walking downtown, and I had lived in Northern California at the time, and I was walking downtown, and I just went for this walk, and I was looking at all of the tall buildings and just bawling. It felt like somebody, like, took me out of the Stone Age and put me in like the
That's
year
so
2000
cool, though.
Or like the
yeah.
the 21st century. I was like looking around going, oh my, like, it was the most incredible feeling. And I just felt like And it wasn't like, I mean, I had been to a lot of hospitals with tall buildings and all of that. And I had been to San Francisco many times for hospitals. I've traveled, like I was, you know, people took me places for hospitals, but it was just this, it was like I was seeing the world for the first time. And
I was about to say that.
And I think
that's so incredible.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, you know, to what you said, to your point, you know, taking that path, stepping out, taking options, following the options, becomes life-changing.
It is. It's such a great feeling. And it's kind of funny because I always, like, the more I learn, I think it's, is it Socrates? I don't want to misquote somebody, but essentially kind of like what I touched on before, the more I know, I know nothing, essentially. And it's just like the more books I read and the more people I talk to, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much work to do. and then I find myself in this stage of, okay, I'm continuing to better myself. I've subscribed to this growth mindset and I want to be a better individual. I want to help more people. And then I go, but you got to like be thankful for the things around you. And that's when it like resonated with me when you said, and I was just there and I like walking around and looking around at these buildings and I had tears rolling down my eyes, and I need to do more of that. I need to walk around the city and look at the buildings. I need to walk around the forest and look around the trees and like realize like how amazing it is, because to me it's dumbfounding to realize that you are stricken to a bed, a wheelchair, immobile. I mean, you essentially cried when you got down to your knees. You couldn't do that. You know, walk down to the corner, and these things are stripped from you for so long, and you got them back, and you got them back because you didn't listen to everybody telling you no. So I like you, like you said, is a great physical example, and you help people with their mind on many other things. But this example of Brandy right here isn't just Brandy overcoming her physical whatever, what insert your variable here. It's like anything you want to do in your mind, in your life, or is limited by your mind for the most part. Of course, there are some external factors out there, but don't limit yourself.
You know, to that point, exactly what you just said, I so agree. And there is a quote by Benjamin Franklin that says, you can do anything you set your mind to, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so a lot of people, they hear this quote, you can do anything you set your mind to. And they go, okay, I'm going to do this, and they get really, really amped up, and I'm just going to do it, right? Now, if we kind of pull that apart for a moment, and we think about anything that you can set your mind to, you can do anything you set your mind to, what is set? You mm-hmm. set an alarm clock, sure. which means you input information. You set GPS. You have to input information. So when you set something, it's about inputting something. And even if you look at Benjamin Franklin, you know, he had his virtues that he practiced, that he lived by, where he did that on a regular basis. And so where he's like, okay, this is how I'm going to be. This is the virtue I'm going to live by. And that's what he did. He set his mind and his being to certain things. Mm-hmm. And so really, when we start to look at the subconscious mind or unconscious mind, you know, most of our behavior, our patterns, our habits, our healing ability, all of those things is all in our subconscious mind. And a lot of people, like even some people, I've seen them before, they'll come into work and work with me and they're like, okay, well, and I mean, they have health issues and they're like, well, I'm just going to ignore it and think positive. I'm like, no, that's not it. Or I'm just going to meditate. And it does. And unfortunately, I mean, even if we look at Steve Jobs, you know, he was eating vegan, vegetarian, meditating, all of that. It didn't work. And it didn't work for me. I did all of that stuff for years and it didn't work, which is what led to the troubleshooting. Okay, what else is it that I need to do specifically to make that change? But whether it is healing ourselves or changing our life or whatever it is, set your mind, whatever you can do, whatever you set your mind to involves set. What are you doing to program your mind to get it in there? Maybe it's, you know, reading new information, getting it in, but really getting that into your mind. And that's where our area of possibility really expands.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought about it in that sense of, yeah, set your mind, but set it to what? And then how to set it? And we live in such a weird time right now where anything's accessible. I can talk to almost whoever I want. I can at least read about them and I can read about anything else under the sun. So then it's like, well, since anybody can say anything, like then who do I listen to? You know, like was what Brandy's saying true? Is what Chris is saying true? And then I also encourage people, well, maybe not. So do your due diligence, like you were saying, like look around, do your research. You know, you don't have to subscribe to 100% of the things I say or what Brandy does, but at least we encourage that there are options, there are ways around this. And regardless of which path you choose, and knowing that you have those options, is that, you know, you got to figure out what's best for you. And that's one of the, probably the, you know, I'm coming up 100 episodes, and that's one of the best things that I've learned over, I would dare say the biggest lesson I've learned in 100 episodes is we're all so unique. We're all beautifully unique, and you really have to find what's best for you. So take a little bit from each person, every source of information that you learn, and figure out the best version for you, because that's what's going to work best for you. It's not what works for you or for me is going to work for somebody else.
Exactly. That's what I always take it down to, is really looking at logical sense. So even when I look at healing with the mind, like it seems so outside of the box, like it really does.
Yeah.
But then if you think about it, okay, if you think about it, you know, if we look at somebody, if you ask a doctor, does stress affect the body? Well, yes, of course. We know that. Where does stress come from? The mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was even proven in the 70s with psychoneuroimmunology that stress affects the white blood cell count, the immune system. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or if we look at this and we go, okay, well, if somebody's embarrassed, their face turns red.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody has anxiety attack, racing heart, shortness of breath. We know that. Okay. Or somebody has a sexual thought, sexual feelings. They have a physical response different for each gender,
mm-hmm.
but there's a physical response.
Yeah.
Or they're scared to death. Yep. That's a real thing. Or bored to death or broken heart syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I think about it for a moment, if scared to death, bored to death. I mean, somebody can freaking die from boredom. Yes, it's a real thing. Well, wait a second. If we know embarrassed and anxiety and sexual thought and broken heart syndrome and bored to death, what about all the rest of the emotions?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And what's fun and incredible is that finally, like Harvard, like there's new research that's finally coming out where like there's new research that's going, loneliness is connected to type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
And that was some research coming out. And so basically there's starting to be more and more pieces of research. And
mm-hmm.
kind of what I've done is that I've, to be able to get results, what I do is I help people to understand the specific emotions and the specific things that are going on in their mind and help them to shift. And that's why some people will say, well, you know, meditation does help my pain. And it will be like, absolutely, because it can help calm you.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that for a lot of people, it doesn't target everything. It doesn't create that change at a deeper level. And so while one person might have some positive benefits to it because they're calm and relaxed, doesn't mean that it's going to work all of the way, because it's not actually targeting the specific thing that needs to change. And so it's kind of like if you take somebody who's got a history of anxiety, you know, and they meditate, well, great, in that moment it might be helpful,
mm-hmm.
but what about when it comes back? Are
mm-hmm.
they really targeting what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yada, yada, yada. So there's different things in the mind, but that's basically what I do, is I take it
yeah.
and I make, like, and you make it just make logical sense. And that's, you know, when you
yes.
look at
I
it,
agree.
It's like, it kind of goes, we've been overlooking this the whole time. Like,
yeah.
if somebody can die from boredom, if somebody can, or even you've probably heard before, seniors who lose a spouse
yeah.
have a much higher rate of death.
That's
right?
What I thought about when you were talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or infants that don't get enough love can actually die. So if we know people can die from emotion, scared to death, bored to death, we go, yep, it's just these. I'm sure rejection, that doesn't affect the body, or hurt or sadness or, you know, criticism or any of these things. No, those can't. But the other emotions, yep, they can kill us. I mean, you start to go, what? And so,
yeah.
That's what's incredible, is that when you heal with your mind, you not only change your life, but you also program your mind for happiness to
yeah.
where you really feel happy. That's why, like, I mean, I can walk around the outside wherever, and I just feel this feeling of happiness. Like, I really
it.
Just, I don't think I ever really knew what happiness was. To me,
wow.
my old definition of happiness was, yeah, I make it through the day and I have friends and I have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody says something funny, I can laugh with people and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my definition of happiness. Now my definition of happiness is I just glow wherever I go, and it doesn't matter what's going on. I just really feel this happiness throughout my body.
I love that. I asked that question earlier, kind of, how does all of this change your outlook on life? And I think that further answers that question that I had for you. It's just, you understand what real happiness is, and you look at the buildings and cry, and maybe people look at you and they're like, what in the world is she, you know, like, but you have no idea what people are, you have no idea what's going on in people's minds and bodies and their lives.
If you think about it, suicide is the second leading cause of death for certain age groups, the second leading and the fourth leading. I mean, so absolutely. People look at you like, happiness, you know?
Yeah. And I would, I say this every episode, you guys hear me say this, I wish we had more time, and I'm so, so full of gratitude to be able to speak with you. And those examples you gave there at the end, I don't want people to discount them. That's all I want to hear. I mean, when I get up on top of a building, I've jumped out of planes, but when I get on a building, I get this feeling in my stomach, like I'm going to die. I feel terrible, and I'm afraid of heights and all those things, or speaking in front of people gets, you know, your stomach gets butterflies and all of these things. So those are very real, and that's just in my mind, and I can control that. And I know that I can work on that. I know that I can be a better talker, and I can not get as nervous in front of people, and I actually deliver a speech really well. However, why can't I do this for the rest of my life? You know what I'm saying? So these are just more, you have options, you can do this. And there is so much more that you're capable of. Brandy, thank you so much.
I love that you jumped out of planes, by the way.
Oh yeah, that's, you should try it. It's pretty fun.
What's that?
I said it's pretty fun. You should try it.
Actually, when I got better, I went skydiving. But
oh, I think I saw that. Good for you. It's pretty fun, right?
Yeah, it's so much fun. But you probably have done it a lot more than me. I was just like, okay, once, let me.
Yeah.
But you, that's so awesome.
Well, where can everybody find and hear more about you and connect with you?
They can go to my website at brandygilmore.com. And all Gilmore right. has two L's.
All right. Easy enough. And you all will be able to look in the show notes and find that and more. Brandy, thank you so much for being here. Like I said, I'm very appreciative of the time. Super inspirational. I can't wait to listen to it again. So have a great rest of your night. Hey.